Right now, it's time to bring in the dogs.
It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner, chief vet, chief cook, bottle washer at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning.
Well, that's that then.
How are the dogs?
Dogs are just doing fine.
The dogs are, and Marshall has these headphones that when they sound like the dogs, I was just waiting for that. So it's all good.
You have one of those remote video cameras that you can watch your dogs during the day?
Yes, I do.
You do? Can you say hello to them or give them a cookie?
No cookies. They're on that weight loss thing, and
on that diet.
They got one more weigh-in to go on, and I think they're going to be there.
We got attacked.
Actually, the camera
dispensing a treat for your dog while you're away is a dangerous thing.
See, don't you think?
The camera is more to keep our eye on Heidi, not giving them treats.
I'm going to do a separate thing about astrological signs that actually have those cameras and spend the time watching those cameras instead of being at home. All right. Jason in Hartford. My husband and I recently had a bad experience that we don't want to repeat, so please advise. 2 weeks ago, we adopted an 8-week-old kitten from the local pound. She seemed energetic and healthy, but about 4 days later, she suddenly became very sick with sneezing, nasal and eye discharge, and diarrhea. It came on so suddenly we didn't have time to get her to the vet. She expired on the way there. We want to try again, but we're concerned that there are pathogens in the house that could still be infectious to a vulnerable young cat. What can be done to ensure the house is safe? And maybe you could give us some tips on how to tell if a kitten is in good health.
Well, this sounds like that kitten was very acutely ill, which is somewhat unusual for them to get ill, sick, and die in one day. Definitely, you know, when you have a young kitten like that who has suddenly has respiratory symptoms and diarrhea, then, you know, getting them in or letting the veterinarian know that it's important to get them in that day is a good thing. Whether there's anything that can be done is hard to know when a virus comes on that quickly. And it's probably something like, it's probably the pan leukopenia or feline distemper virus. what we vaccinate against is called RCP, and it's rhinotracheitis, Khaleesi virus, and panleukopenia, which is distemper. The others are severe upper respiratory viruses. So the panleukopenia is a parvovirus, so it can be a little bit difficult to disinfect, but definitely that's what needs to be done before you bring another young kitten into the house. So if the kitty had run of the house, then thinking about disinfecting with something that's going to be effective with a parvovirus. And I would first off ask your veterinarian about that. Maybe they can help you. There's a product called Rescue that we use at the office that should kill parvovirus. Excuse me, I don't know if you can get it in less than a gallon size, but you want to clean all the surfaces that the kitten's been on, and everything needs to be washed. So throw rugs, carpets, the floor, any of the bedding, and the toys should just be thrown away.
What if you have wall-to-wall carpeting?
Well, then I'm not sure really how to take care of that. I think that a rug cleaner is the way to go.
Get someone in.
The way that this virus is transmitted is through what's called fomites, and anything can act like a fomite, and it's an inert object that the virus sticks to. So it could even be dirt in the rug. So, you know, although a rug cleaner is not going to disinfect viruses that are there, at least you can pick up everything that the virus might be stuck to, except for the rug itself. But washing the rug, wall-to-wall carpet, is a good idea. And whenever you bring a kitten into the house, good idea, like 8-week-old kitten, to keep in one room
for the first week.
I'm
going to guess, just for the way this is written, could be completely wrong, but I don't think that the 8-week-old kitten had the run of the house, because
probably not.
It's too there are too many things to get caught under. I don't think that
to hide
happened.
And to chew on, yeah. And all of that. So hopefully this was a one room situation, and And that room can be disinfected, but I would just even throw out the toys, disinfect the litter box, clearly throw out all the used litter, any surface that you think might be a source of virus. And then, you know, I probably wouldn't necessarily go to the same place then to find a kitten. If you find a rescue, a lot of these rescues will now be fostering kittens, and so not so many cats are in one spot.
Right.
So if you go, you know, ask about where do they have kittens, if they've got them out at a few foster homes, and there's only four kittens there, or you know, and they're all from the same litter, that may be a better place for you right now. In a large facility where there are lots of cats and kittens, then they should be vaccinating those kittens. The rule of thumb, I think, is starting at 5 weeks and then every 2 weeks while they're there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. The other thing that's really not clear from the question is that it does say suddenly, but it's not...
It isn't clear over how many days. So the
other thing is, not just for them, but for anyone who's listening, if you have what seems like a healthy young animal, kitten or puppy, that suddenly seems unwell, you basically, in my view, not being a veterinarian, just being a civilian, should drop everything and get that small creature to, you know, that young, vulnerable creature to a veterinarian.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that it's going to all work end happily, but it has a much better shot of waiting to see if it, you know, it's so weird. It's almost like that 1 hour, it can make a massive difference.
Right, right. And it is possible, you know, sometimes to call and this time of year to be told that, you know, we can get you in 2 days because it sounds like your kitten has a cold, maybe not asking the right questions, and so being persistent and saying that, you know...
No, there's something wrong.
There's something wrong. We need to be seen today. Right. Is a good idea.
And, you know, again, this is always harder for new parents, new pet parents.
It is. And it's an unusual situation,
right,
too, for that to happen.
But
so quickly.
So the good news is that's real, and I'm speaking as someone who actually had that with my first puppy. So it was one of those, you're kidding. So you get past it. You should definitely do it again. Definitely disinfect and do make an effort not to get from the same. You know, as much as you want to rescue someone from the pound. So something went amiss there. So you do
right,
want to
and
try
I'm not
another.
Saying not to rescue from the pound,
but not at all.
It's a matter of if you've been through this one time recently, then maybe you don't want to take that chance
from that place again. And
yeah.
It's a real good guess that simply the unfortunate kitty just missed. You know, didn't they were vaccinating everybody and it just kind of missed, but.
Or the vaccine, you're right, it could be all kinds of things. This kitten could have had some other underlying disease as well.
Right.
But it is important, absolutely important, to report this to the pound.
Exactly.
Where the kitten came from, because they want to know. They want to know if they're going to have some kind of a viral disease that goes through the their population, because
right,
they can have ways of dealing with that.
Right. All right, Carl in New Britain. Here we go with trying to exercise the dog in warm weather. Sometimes when it doesn't seem that hot out to me, my dog slows down and is reluctant to run around and get exercise. Then, of course, late at night, he's full of energy and drives the family nuts. He's only 4 years old, a short hair pointer mix, and in good health. If your dog is sluggish in the heat, should you let them be as lazy as they want, or is it okay to try to get them going a little?
That's a good question. If your dog is otherwise, though, you know, in the cooler weather, it has lots of energy, then clearly it's too hot to exercise if they're being sluggish. So, no, I wouldn't make them do anything. You want to get out at this time of year. You want to get out early in the morning or later in the evening, really in the hour before it gets dark,
except
when it's a little bit cooler, and do the physical activity at that point. Middle of the day, you know, they've got this coat. It's like, you know, this wearing this winter coat.
Yeah, the one thing that's been happening in this humidity, though, is that that hour before dusk, when the humidity and the air, and I can't get any. I have a heat sensitive little flower, and he just, you know, he just like, oh, it's too hot.
Yeah, so there may be days when you can't do anything unless you have a dog who swims, and that's what we do if we have to walk in the middle of the day. Is we go down to the water, and they go in the water every, you know, 15 minutes or so, and right up to their bellies and by the river and cool off. They like to just cool off their feet. A lot of heat will dissipate through the feet and drink some water, and that keeps them cooler. If you've only got a time when it is hot, you know, you can hose your dog down. They feel a lot better when they're hosed down with cool water, and then go for a bit of a walk.
That's all right. And so, but main thing is don't force them, right?
Don't force them, and especially if they're overweight. So, you know, a dog can be in fairly good health and still be overweight. It makes a big difference as far as heat, dissipation of heat. And so if you have a dog who normally would weigh 55 pounds and weighs 65 pounds, then that dog will be much less likely to want to do very much when it seems okay to you, but, you know, it's definitely too hot for your dog. So getting the weight off in the heat is a hard thing to do, but feeding less is a good strategy.
All right. Morgan in Albany, is sunburn something a long-haired dog can get? If so, how can you tell?
So potentially a long-haired dog can get sunburn, but the sun has to actually reach the skin, and most long-haired dogs have very thick coat as well. And that undercoat protects them. So it's unusual on the body to get sunburn. But a white long-haired dog can get sunburn on the edges of the ears if there's not a lot of hair there, and around their eyes, and on the bridge of the nose as well if there isn't a lot of hair. I don't think it's not something that I commonly see. You will see the skin looks red. It'll look red and peely and maybe itchy. So keep that in mind. If you can see through the hair to the skin, then your dog can probably get sunburn. Usually they'll choose to, you know, get out of the sun if you've got a long-haired, fluffy dog. Typically won't bake in the sun. Some of them will, though. So you have to be right on it as far as paying attention to, especially an older dog will feel cold inside, want to bake in the sun out on the blacktop, and may get sunburned around the face and eyes. And ears.
I have a spaniel that likes to bake. You know, just like I what I think is really funny is most of the dogs find the coolest spot. That's their job.
Yes.
And then every so often you get one that's like, I just can picture them if this were 40, 50 years ago, lying with their bikini, with their reflector, their tinfoil reflectors, trying to...
Exactly. I know. As much heat. Can I soak up as much heat as I possibly can get?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And those are usually older dogs who do that.
Or just demented ones.
Oh.
Or just dogs that have been demented since they were assigned to my household some time ago.
Well, that could be.
Yeah. All right, Anna Maria in Bridgeport. Our 11-year-old tabby, Miss Thing, has started doing a weird thing with her eyes. She darts them back and forth even though there's nothing to look at. Other than that, she seems fine. Should we be concerned? Is this more likely an eye problem, or could it be some kind of dizziness thing?
So what you're describing is called nystagmus, if it's involuntary eye shifting from one side to the other. And that is often associated also with a head tilt and some imbalance, and usually it indicates a problem with the middle ear, so the part of the ear that's the other side of the eardrum. If there's just a little bit of it and she doesn't seem dizzy, then it may be something coming on as far as vestibulitis, it's called. So the vestibular apparatus is in the middle ear, and it can become inflamed. Usually, again, this is an older cat problem, but, you know, you said she was 11 years old.
Yeah.
So this does definitely warrants a visit to the veterinarian so that we can determine whether it is nystagmus, and, there can be other causes of it if it isn't the middle ear problem. It can be central brain, problems as well. So, you know, observe whether you have a head tilt and, whether she's dizzy walking around at home or whether she can jump up on things anymore. Maybe she used to jump up on the bed and now just sits there and waits because she's worried that she might not make it. Or she might put her front legs up and not try to bounce up.
Right.
So that you can tell your veterinarian these things when you bring her in.
Right. And I just, this is a constant reminder, public service announcement, is remember, your veterinarian knows and can feel and can see things that you can't, even though you're both looking at the same thing. And that's why it's just really helpful to know the sort of behavioral changes, if you will.
Right, and that's not something that I would wait on.
Right.
You know, I would get her in to try to figure out what's going on. Something's going on there. She's clearly not looking at things, and it can be, hopefully, it's just a little bit of nystagmus with the middle ear issue that may spontaneously resolve. But it also could be other things. And the older your cat is, the more likely it may be something else.
Right. And so sooner rather than later. All right. Going from Miss Thing to Pete in Torrington. My new puppy is super into catching flies, which should be great, except that she eats them, which seems gross. Do I have to make her stop? How is he going to do that? All right.
So the fly catching thing, some dogs, especially the herding breeds, usually will be really into snapping at flies and really go after them. I'm not worried about them eating flies. What's a little bit more concerning is they'll do the same thing with bees. So you have to be a little bit vigilant about that. Keep some Benadryl on hand.
What's the dosage? By the way, I have a bee eater, and everybody thinks that she's just so great that they try to copy her. It's just ridiculous.
So it's about a milligram per pound. You can give every 8 hours, but definitely if you think that you need to give it, call your veterinarian and just clear that with them.
Right. Because I'm going to throw this in. Your veterinarian will know or can look at what other medications or et cetera that your dog might be on, just to be aware of.
That might be contraindicated,
yeah.
Right. So, but interestingly, just make sure that your dog is, especially if this is a very high energy dog that may have some other compulsive behaviors, because fly biting, in quotations, can be a compulsive behavior, and so we think that there's flies there, and it may start with going after flies, but there are dogs who their eyes will even go around and around and around, and then they snap in the air. We call it fly-biting behavior, but there's no fly. And it can get worse and worse and become a compulsive behavior.
Something to
be sure that it's just an occasional thing. Whenever there's a fly around, not a problem.
Right. And I just love his, do I have to make her stop? Do you have... How would he do
I know.
That?
It's almost impossible to make them stop if they're going after something like that, right?
It's also such a – I can see why it's called fly-by behavior, because it's such a specific – it looks – you know, if you look and you know instantly what – you know, in my case, it's like, okay, great, there's a bee there. Get her out of there. Because
right.
often she will succeed.
Right, and sometimes, you know, sometimes they, I don't know, they might get stung and they don't show it, or they just don't get stung. But dogs who have a reaction to bee stings will really swell.
Yeah, and if you see, like, suddenly your dog looks like a
Shar Pei.
A Shar Pei. No, that's exactly right. I once had an allergic reaction with the first shark. He became a Shar Pei. I threw something just over my shoulder at him. It was a piece of a chuck roast, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around about a minute later, and like the entire dog had become a manatee.
Right. They do swell fairly quickly and around the eyes can be itchy and paw at their faces. And then you have sometimes a corneal scratch at the same time. So.
Yeah. So anyway, off he went to the vet. But it was just, how did that happen? All right. Lara in Canaan. So me and my SO just learned what that meant. Just got a third cat. And I think we now officially have a menagerie. 2 dogs, 3 cats. A pot-bellied pig, and a goldfish. We live on a farm, and all the critters except the goldfish go outside. I'm starting to wonder if we should have a pet first aid kit on hand. Do you agree? If so, what would you suggest should go in it?
Well, a first aid kit is a great idea. I think that having some things at the house will keep you from having to run out, like something like the things, think about the things that you have to mix together to treat your dog for being sprayed by a skunk, you know, and that you can just look up online. Having some Benadryl or diphenhydramine, the generic form of Benadryl, is fine. The reason I say that is because Benadryl itself, it makes cold medicines now, so sometimes they'll put in with the diphenhydramine, they also put cold medication, and we want to make sure that dogs and cats don't get any of that. So just the diphenhydramine, straight antihistamine Benadryl to have on hand. If you have, most adult cats and dogs can take some section of a tablet. Many people go out and get the liquid, but it's 25 milligrams and I think 5 milliliters, may even be less, more dilute than that. So you're ending up having to try to give a cat 2 milliliters of a yucky-tasting fluid, and that's not going to happen, whereas giving a half to a quarter of a pill would be okay. So if you've got a 12-pound cat, you can give a half a tablet and be successful.
Okay.
So having some Benadryl on hand for bee stings, for hives. If your dog is on a lot of medication, heart medication, et cetera, blood pressure medication, speak to your veterinarian about whether it's okay to ever use that.
Right. And same dosage for cats and dogs?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Some sterile gauze, which you can get at the pharmacy. You can get sterile gauze. You can get some sort of disinfectant like Betadine or Prepadine solution. I wouldn't get the scrub necessarily because it has a lot of soap in it. But if you get a solution, then you can follow the directions on the bottle, mix it with some water, and it makes a nice cleansing solution. Chlorhexidine, the same thing. You can make a cleansing solution with that. And so that you can clean any scrapes as soon as they happen, scrapes and cuts, etc.
What about bandages or just the gauze?
Pardon?
What about bandages or just the gauze?
Well, if you have gauze and you've got a cleansing solution and then getting some rolled gauze, if you know how to do a bandage or if you have some idea of how to do a bandage, a good idea, you want to make sure that you don't do it so tightly on a limb that you cut off
the circulation,
but also have some of that vet wrap. And I can't remember what it's called for people. They sell it at the pharmacy as well. But it is a bandage that doesn't have glue on it, but
it
sticks to itself,
and it's one of the best inventions ever in the history of the universe.
It is, but vet wrap is very stretchy, and if you stretch it all the way, you're going to have a dog. If you put it on the lower leg, you'll have a dog with a great big foot in about a half an hour because of the swelling. So you have to be somewhat cautious about how tightly you wrap that. Have an Elizabethan collar for every animal in your house, or at least that one that will fit every pet. If you've got a dog who, for instance, gets porcupine quills, just to get them to the veterinarian, putting on the e-collar is going to save your dog from ripping holes in their face while you're trying to get there, or from you trying to hold on to them and getting stuck with quills repeatedly while you're getting to the vet.
It sounds like it's happened to you.
Also, when they have, they start to lick something on a Sunday morning, and it's not really that big of a deal, but by Monday morning, it could be a huge deal, then you've got that collar to put on them. And the reason to have it is so that you can use it.
Really?
Because so many people are so reluctant to put the cone on. The dogs don't like it, and cats don't like it.
Just buy yourself a cheap lampshade.
Well, I suppose. I don't know. I don't think they're going to fit very well.
Right.
They don't like it. But the alternative is much worse.
Spoken like a true veterinarian. Guess what? We are so happy to have you, but we are out of time. Ergo, this has been thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.